Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught that there is a difference between having repentance for sin because we've lost the blessing and that which is true repentance. Let's continue with that thought today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Understand, a bitter person is not necessarily one who is depressed and down all the time. They may be people who are fun-loving and complimentary. You may enjoy being around them, but they are down on someone or some ministry of the church. Maybe they're down on authority, regardless of who that authority is. They're just down on authority. And they begin to infect others against that authority or against that ministry or whatever that individual is they're against. Often, it is something they hold against someone or something from an incident of the past. When it springs up, it ends up that many are defiled. And you can be guilty of defiling many in God's house. And when you do that, that is an awful, low-down, abominable sin in the sight of God. And you need to understand that. And that's why I'm trying to be plain with you and upfront with you on this thing. You see, too often, we get mad at the preacher when he preaches against something in our life, and it might be like bitterness. And we get upset, and we think, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's getting too personal. And we begin to attack that kind of preacher. Well, hey, I have a right to go out and do this. I have a right to go out and do that. And that's just his opinion. And you get mad, and then you start putting down the preacher, start putting down the church. You start putting down people that may support the church or the pastor. And you get around, you start talking to people, and you begin sowing discord, which is an abomination. And really the matter is, if you feel like you had the liberty to do it, it shouldn't bother you that people believe another way. I mean, do you get as mad because, for example, Muslims don't even believe in your God? Do you get mad because the Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept Jesus Christ as Almighty God in the flesh, the Word made flesh? You say, well, I don't like it. Well, do you get as mad as you do when the preacher hits your sin? Because really, those doctrines of Christ are much more important than that thing that made you mad. You see, that's the devil at work in your life. Now again, don't miss that this is an issue of holiness and purity of life. It breaks both the peace and the holiness of verse 14, and it troubles you, and it defiles many, as we've seen here in verse 15. And we are warned of a personal responsibility to not allow this to happen in our Christian life. Now that takes us to verses 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that these things from the Old Testament serve as an example. It is oftentimes an example of the pitfalls and the failures that we should avoid as God's people, as saved people who are to reflect the holiness of God. Esau's description is that of a fornicator and a profane person. Fornicator is from the Greek word pornos, from which we get our word pornography. It has the idea, however, of sexual sin of any type, not only premarital sexual relationships. Now you remember the story in Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35. Please listen as I read that passage to you. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now here's a guy that fulfilled his physical, sexual desires in the kind of women that, yes, he married them, but they weren't the kind of women that a godly person should seek for a wife. Now, we are enjoined in our text to pursue holiness, lest such a sin should seduce us. Now, that word profane comes from a word that meaning profaned, unhallowed, common. It is the opposite of the meaning of holiness, and that's why the word is used here. It also has the idea in it of common greed. Esau sold his long-term birthright for immediate gratification. I think it was old Bob Jones Sr. that said, "Do not sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the present." And that was so right. Esau ignored the long-term honor for instant satisfaction. The idea, then, is that this person, Esau, habitually left God out of his thoughts. Esau was seeking the now generation. And folks, seeking the now generation is not a new thing. Seeking the contemporary generation is not a new thing. This is a story from 4,000 years ago when they were doing it. So it's not anything new. It's just rebellion. It's just packaged differently each generation, but it's still the same old rebellion. So is the impatient, instant gratification of this society of the last days and of many who name the name of Christ. Esau sold the birthright. The birthright was the right to be the family priest and spiritual leader. It was an honored thing for the family. But his lust for the good-smelling stew that Jacob cooked was greater than this honored position. Imagine somebody stooping so low that he had no capacity, no discernment to see just how bad this was. Now, verse 17 says, "For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Now, verse 17 shows he is rejected, meaning rejected as a result of examination. He was found unworthy for the position. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, the repentance that was sought and not found by Esau was not a change of his own mind. Esau did not seek that. It wasn't a desire to change his ways. Instead, he sought to change Isaac's mind. When Esau ate the pottage, he was satisfied with the material gain. He had no thought about it when he left, of the spiritual loss that he just had. Didn't bother him at all. He had respect only to the lost blessing, the material things, not to his ways before an holy God. Don't get me wrong. Esau valued the gain of godliness, but he wanted it without being godly. The nature of our God would need be changed in order to gratify him in that which was his soul desire. You see, Esau could have later repented and went back to Jacob long before the blessing was pronounced. But you see, he could care less of the spiritual implications. Sometimes children are raised in Christian homes and also become hardened to the spiritual things of their parents. They simply think of them as a bother and a hindrance, not waiting until they can get out of the house and get out from under it. Why? Because so often the teaching, preaching of the word, the godly home, brought conviction to the heart. Instead of following the Lord, they harden themselves against it. Too often we want to blame the parents. Well, they must have done something wrong when that child wouldn't have turned out that way. No, it was the heart of this child. Understand, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Now, notice the repentance in this passage. There's two Greek words translated repent. First of all, metamelomai, and then the second word, metanoeo. Now, metamelomai means to have regret or remorse for one's actions because of the evil consequences entailed. This is the word used of Judas's repentance in Matthew 27:3. The word metanoeo means a change of mind consisting of a reversal of moral purpose. In one's salvation, it is a regret accompanied by a change of heart toward God, realizing our sin has separated us from God. We then desire removal of the sin, and we desire relationship with the Holy God. Therefore, we want Him to cleanse us and make us holy for this relationship. And He does the work. But the relationship of God is based on holiness by which, that is, without this holiness, no man will see God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He sanctifies you and gives you this holiness in your spirit. But now that's not the same holiness and the same sanctification that we grow in to become stronger and stronger in our relationship. Now this last word that we've been talking about, metanoeo, that is used in our salvation, is used also in Acts 17:30, where it tells us that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tremble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.